Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil, gol. Martinelli, Eduard Arsenal.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello and welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always, with James from Gunnerblog. James, goodly morning to you.
Goodly morning to you too. How is the winter break, as it's termed, treating you?
Well, I still don't have a kitchen.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, that's a bit of a thing.
How are you subsisting? How are you eating?
Takeaways and sort of, you know, going out,
diet.
Yeah, the sort of local cafes and stuff like that are doing a roaring trade. I went to have my breakfast this morning in Matt the Rasher's, which is a very famous breakfast place around here. Great breakfast, it has to be said. And of course, you get all the benefits of listening to other people. You know, when you work from home, you work on your own, you don't have that sort of water cooler type thing. You know, the conversations that people have. And there were two guys this morning talking about the Oscars, sitting at a table the other way. Two men, like, in their 60s, 70s. And they were talking about Joaquin Phoenix winning for Joker. And he was like, powerful, powerful performance. It was a great film and a powerful performance. Now, The Irishman, that was a load of me old bollocks, that was. So it was fascinating to hear what the man on the street thought of the thought of the Oscars.
Interesting. Had they seen Parasite? Did you manage to work that one out?
They mentioned it, but neither of them had seen it. So I haven't seen it yet either.
No, nor I.
So I'm looking forward to watching it at some point, when I can figure out where to get it. It's one of those, is it in the cinema? Is it on Amazon? Where is it and how do I see it? Or do I just download it from a place?
A magic place.
Yeah.
I've just been watching the news about the Oscars, actually. Everybody's celebrating that someone wore a suit for the second time or something like that. It's kind of mad, isn't it?
I saw a great tweet this morning where Jane Fonda said she was going to the Oscars wearing ethically harvested gold.
Head to toe in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Head to toe.
Well, thank goodness for that ethically harvested gold. The world is in a better place.
She's roughing it. She's slamming it with the likes of us now.
Yeah.
With our ethically harvested minerals. it is another world entirely, but there you go. It's been weird, the winter break. And obviously we had the storm. Did you guys? You must have had the storm.
Fuck
as well.
Yeah, we had the storm. I woke up yesterday morning and thought, okay, it's kind of passed us over. This is great, because it was a bit of wild and wet and windy weather during the night. But you know the way you hear it in your sleep. And I find it kind of comforting to listen to storms outside when I'm asleep in bed. I think there's something quite nice about that. But at about 9 o'clock, we had the biggest rainstorm I've ever seen here in Ireland.
Wow.
Ever.
It was a tropical downpour.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the rain that you used to see, or I used to see when I lived in Spain, when it would just fucking,
it was
collapse out of the sky. That's a brilliant way of putting it. Our shed flooded twice, which is really unfortunate, but there you go. We had the storm, we had the winds. You weren't sort of blown into the side of a building, or you didn't
hit by a
road sign that had been swept off by the high breeze.
Somehow survived. It was actually not too bad in London. I think north of England got the worst of it. Although, you know, they called off the Man City West Ham game yesterday. Mm. I knew a few West Ham fans who travelled up, and they travelled up the night before, believe it or not. And apparently by sort of 1 or 2 p.m., it was like a beautiful day in Manchester, but the football had been cancelled, so they were understandably disappointed. But it was, yeah, intense. But in this part of the country, we really got away with it. So
yeah, it was quite funny because there was an Ireland-Wales rugby match here on Saturday, and it wasn't a warm day by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it was quite cold, and town, the city centre, was replete with Welshmen wearing just rugby shirts.
Right.
Just
those sirens were for the Welshmen. The sound of Welshmen and then police sirens immediately. What are they doing?
I don't know.
Just rugby shirts.
Rugby shirts. And they're all wandering around sort of doing that thing where you're sort of holding your arms because you're cold. And it was like...
Nothing from the waist down. French naked.
Yeah, French naked. Now, in fairness, they did have the good grace to wear pants and stuff like that. But I was just thinking, like, chaps, it's February in Ireland. Wear a jacket or some kind of fleecy thing at least and put your rugby shirt on over that.
Exactly, yeah. Go with that as the outside layer. But, you know, have the jacket open. We'll understand your affiliation. They've taken it way too far.
I think you know, there's a sort of something missing. When people come from England and Wales and possibly Scotland, I can't speak to that exactly, but stag weekends in Dublin, you always see the lads, the English lads, wandering around in their sort of shirts, at night, and it's -2 outside, and they're all wandering around like fucking freezing. And I'm just wondering, what do they think the weather is going to be like when they get to Dublin? What is it? Why don't people wear coats?
I don't know. Something is missing, and it's the coats, isn't it? Crucially, it's the coats.
The coats or the awareness that you need to wear coats. You need a jacket in Ireland.
One of those two things, or both, I suppose, in some situations. But, I mean, one of the weird consequences, I don't know if you've had this experience, of this kind of winter break. I keep nearly calling it an international break, but it's not an international
break. It's the winter lull.
It's the winter lull, exactly. Is that it makes me kind of appreciate football more. So, like, when a match is on, you know, I am actually interested in it, whereas usually I'm a bit sort of saturated by Premier League football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I watched some on the other day, whoever was on Saturday. Everton, was it?
Yeah, Everton, they won, didn't they? 3-1 against somebody.
Yeah. I watched a bit of that, I think.
Who did they beat?
Watford?
Charleston scored a good goal. No, Watford played somebody else. They played Brighton.
Well, it shows you how much that game stuck in my mind.
We've really invested more in the Premier League during this winter lull.
Crystal Palace.
That was it. And Everton have actually had quite a good run, haven't they, under Ancelotti?
Yeah, I saw a few people saying, should we have gone for Ancelotti over Arteta? He has like 17 points since he took over as manager. Arteta only has 8. I mean, I think the answer is obvious, isn't it? We sack Arteta right now and we bring in Ancelotti.
I think it's time. Yeah. We pay Everton whatever it takes.
He's had a good run, in fairness, Arteta. He had a good go at it. He did fine. Just have to chalk it down to experience and move on. This is how we do things now.
You know, it's been a learning curve for everybody, but it's time to put a bullet in him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Metaphorically, James.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It depends on the next result. But, all the players are in Dubai. Not just our players, all the players. Every footballer has gone to Dubai, as far as I can tell.
Have they? They've gone on, the ones who are on like on the break have gone for some holiday time.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dubai is chock full of footballers. If you go on Instagram and look at almost any Premier League footballer, it's like they've convened for some sort of conference, genuinely, by a pool in Dubai.
I mean, I know it's not that far away in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, aren't there better places to go if you're a Premier League footballer and you've got all the money in the world and you can stay in good hotels and, you know, fly business class and all that kind of stuff? Isn't it, like, somewhere better?
I mean, I don't know, because I've not been to Dubai, and I'm sure there are things about it. I'm told that footballers like it because they sort of don't get disturbed too much. You know, they don't get hassled there. And it's sort of convenient. Everything that they require is there. If they want to train, gym facilities are really good. But it's also part of like the fact that all footballers now sort of growing towards the same midpoint. They're all identical, basically. They all get the same haircut, the same tattoos. They go on the same holidays. And that's what footballers are like these days.
You're saying we need new footballers?
I'm saying we've got to love the ones who break the mould. I want to know, where is the footballer who's gone to Dublin without a coat? Do you know what I mean? On his holiday. I want to find the footballer who is like, I'm not going to go to Dubai. I'm going to go to, I don't know, somewhere, anywhere. Belgium, Liège. I'm going to go and look at some art in Belgium. Where's that footballer?
It's a good question. I don't know who it is.
Is it any of our players?
Well, no, because they're all in Dubai. But
they're
they have
all
to
in
be.
Dubai. They and they've taken all their, you know, friends and family with them. I mean, Nicola Pepe was travelling with a crew of about 10 people, as far as I could tell.
Really?
Incredible.
Wow.
Yeah,
I did see him with a lion.
Yeah, and a lion. He took a lion as well on a lead.
That's quite good.
Yeah. I mean, he knows how to live, that boy. And who else? I mean, they all went out a few days before. So, you know, Aubameyang went with his family, and Joe Willock went with his mates, Reece Nelson with some of his mates. They went there 4 or 5 days before training started and were just, you know, chilling.
What do you think about the few days off thing? Because I did see a number of comments, and there are quite a few like, you know, oh, we've been playing so shit all season, and you give them days off? That's not going to teach them anything. These guys need to, you know, learn some hard graft. Get down the mines like our grandfathers. That made men out of them. None of this namby-pamby nonsense of going on sunshine holidays and we're paying for it. What is the world coming to? You know, the idea that probably we should execute a couple of the players in front of the rest of the squad just to teach them a lesson. Just show them, hey, this lack of standards will not be acceptable. If you don't pull your finger out of your arse, you know, there's going to be a big problem here.
Well, this is going to enormously surprise everyone, but I'm actually okay with it. I mean, especially when you think, you know, we're just coming out the other side of that Christmas, New Year period in which they don't get that time off and they don't get time with their families. I think for them to have what it was, is like 4 or 5 days respite, I think is absolutely fair enough, don't you?
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it. I know, you know, there's probably little sympathy when Mikel Arteta says that the players have had a tough couple of months. And, you know, if you're just looking at it through the prism of results, I get that. I get that, you know, you might not be overly sympathetic to that idea. But, you know, I would say the Unai Emery, the last while of the Unai Emery regime, if not a bit more, was difficult, was tough for the players. And clearly they didn't produce on the pitch. And it's not to excuse them in any way. But I don't think it was a happy, healthy work environment for anybody. You know, Freddie came in and then Mikel Arteta came in and we have the festive period. And Mikel Arteta is looking for so much more, demanding more from his players physically, mentally, all those kind of things. You know, I think it has been difficult for them, you know, on a very human level. On the, they're paid loads of money and they're elite sports people. We shouldn't have any sympathy for them over anything that they do ever, ever. You know, maybe not, but then that's a strange outlook to take. You know, you do have to remember they are people, they are human, they do have some of the same problems and issues that we have. They're just much richer than we are. You know, so I'm okay with it. I don't mind them having a couple of days off. I don't think the idea of training camp away is a bad one either. I think Arteta spoke about how the players could be, you know, together at all times. There'd be a bit more squad interaction, all those kind of things. You know, we've got to see, in fairness, we've got to see some kind of benefit from it when we start playing again. But, you know, I think we have to be realistic and think about ways that people get motivated. You know, the stick is a powerful tool, but if you use the stick all the time, then the donkey becomes vicious.
Yeah, the stick is a powerful tool, but the carrot is delicious. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think, you know, imagine telling those players who've been promised 4 days off and know that every other team in the Premier League is going to have some time off in that period. By the way, guys, you're not getting to go to Dubai, or you're not getting any time off. I just think they'd be so crestfallen. I don't think that would be a positive environment.
Yeah, we've got double sessions of video analysis every day.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That's your
point. Like, they'll be raring to go. They'll be chomping at the bit. Yeah. I don't think so. So I think, yeah, it's absolutely reasonable. And to be honest, with all the Arsenal players being out in Dubai, I did think, surely, you know, the Athletic could do with me being their man on the ground.
Yeah.
But the call never came. They needed someone to go to Burnley. Oh, I was there. But Dubai, no. So sat here in Storm Kiara. Incredible.
Kira.
Yeah. I'm so confused. In England, people are pronouncing that name about five different ways. I've heard Kira, Kiara, Ciara, Sierra, and others. But well, we're going with Kira, are we?
Yeah, well, that's how you pronounce it. It's an Irish name.
Okay.
I know that there are issues with some Irish names and their pronunciation versus their spelling, or what you might perceive their spelling to be. But
sure.
Yeah, it's Storm Kira.
Siobhan, etc.
Yeah, Siobhan, all those. There are many that we could go through. But yeah, it's Storm Kira.
So, Kira.
Yeah,
okay,
Kira. That's it. That's the name. So the boys are in Dubai, and, you know, like you, I haven't really watched much of the hashtag content that came out. I looked at some of the pictures yesterday. I wrote on the blog on Sunday about that. I wrote about Kieran Tierney's enormous thighs.
Huge.
They're weapons of mass destruction.
They're Roberto Carlos-esque, aren't they?
They really are.
We must breed him with Jack Grealish to create the ultimate massive-legged footballer.
I wonder, could that footballer actually run or kick a ball, because of the bulk of the legs would be too much?
It would be very, very difficult. Mm. But it doesn't stop me wanting to make that happen.
Like what was the movie where he crossbred all the animals? And
the
shit?
Island of Dr. Moreau.
The Island of Dr. Moreau. That's exactly it. So maybe we could do that with footballers. We could have Kieran Tierney and Jack Grealish to make the monster legs. What would we do for a torso? Whose torso would we?
I don't know.
Ronaldo.
Well, it would be interesting to sort of take someone who is incredibly big, like Sead Kolasinac, but mix it with Raheem Sterling with his tiny dinosaur arms and see what you've got. You might just get a very muscular torso with like little hands poking out of the side.
Good for balance. Not good for throw-ins, though.
Not good if you fall over as well. How do you get back to your feet? You need your teammates to pick you up, very literally.
Yeah. Unless you had massive, bulky legs with which spring...
Can Raheem Sterling take a legal throw-in? Like, do his arms go back far enough behind his head?
Do you know what? I never noticed that Raheem Sterling had tiny arms. Does he? Really?
Yeah. Well, it's more, to be fair, I'll be fair to Raheem, it's more how he holds them.
Right.
When he runs,
A bit of the Van Persie, is it?
Yeah, imagine like with your arms doing like chicken, folding them to make like little wings. If you were going to sing the birdie song, for example.
Yeah.
He runs like that. So his hands are just sort of protruding like a velociraptor.
Okay.
Or a T-Rex.
Okay. Well, yeah. There you go.
Anyhow, shall we watch this train? Seeing as we've been so starved of football.
Yeah.
Shall we watch this shooting drill video?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm gonna press play at the same time as you, and we can just sort of commentate on this video. It's from the official Arsenal website. It's on their YouTube. It's drills 1v1 and a Martinelli madness. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Okay, let's press play on 3, 2, 1, and we're playing.
Okay.
Ooh, sprinklers.
It looks hot.
Does...
Guendouzi might be regretting having all that hair in this heat.
There's Saka doing some elastic bandies.
He's worshipping the sun. There's Hector Bellerin just lying down. This is fantastic.
Slow motion hopping here. Reece Nelson looking on in awe. There's Martinelli. Where's the madness? Is he doing a madness?
Not well, yet. He's doing keepy ups. Ooh. So,
look at those shorts.
This is in such slow motion that it leads me to believe they didn't have that much footage and they were just like, let's just really slow it down.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to use much. So they're doing it in slow-mo, so it takes up more time. Oh, look, stretchy legs.
All the players are warming up. Yeah. You and I are just looking desperately for Kieran Tierney's legs in those shorts. Can we see them
anywhere?
Not
seeing them. Seeing a lot of Mustafi. Okay. Yeah. Oh.
He is.
Oh. Oh.
That was the Martinelli madness.
That must have been the madness. He did lob the ball over the
what
goalkeeper.
What he did was he chipped it over a goalkeeper. But there wasn't a goal, per se.
Yeah.
I think they were using a little mini goal. I mean, look, they seem to be having a nice time.
They're running, doing a drill. Is that
that's Eddie Nketiah?
Yeah, with Martinelli taking it back.
Little 1v1 drill.
Yeah. Oh, goal!
Goal! I don't even know who that was.
I think it was Nketiah again. Now,
good in training. That's what we've heard.
There's Hector.
I mean. Have you ever been to Dubai, Andrew?
No. Is that Ceballos doing a little...
Ceballos does a good goal in training. What does it mean? Nothing.
Nothing.
Aubameyang, great goal into the near post.
Is that Lacazette scoring? What?
Lacazette just scored a
goal.
That
could have been...
Right,
no,
stop
that's,
everything.
That's special effects. That's CGI.
They've done something in post there because Lacazette hit the ball and it went in the net.
Yeah. Don't know what that is.
Is Pepe making Rob Holding... turn around a lot. Ooh, quite good skill from Pepe. But then they cut away as if maybe he didn't finish.
Oh, big, good feet burned Leno. And now I've got Lucas Torreira.
Oh, I've not got that because I'm on the official website. You've got Lucas for it.
Yeah, Torreira. Lucas for a...
Tell everyone to subscribe.
Subscribe. Subscribe.
Subscribe. Well, there you go. I mean, I don't think we gleaned a great deal from that.
No, but I don't suppose that Mikel Arteta, you know, having got the chaps together out there in Dubai to work on things outside the sphere of this, you know, schedule that we operate in on a weekly basis where you play, you recover, you prepare, et cetera, you know, is using this time to implement some new tactical tweaks, et cetera, et cetera. I don't suppose he's going to just let them broadcast it on Arsenal.com.
No, I probably not. Even though it would help us with our podcast, I don't think he's going to do that. But there you go.
There's another reason to get rid of him.
Hashtag Arteta out. Let's get it trending.
Yeah.
But there you go. So there they are in Dubai having a lovely kickabout.
So what
I missed
else?
Them in a way. Never thought I'd say that.
It's been quiet this week. And when it's an interlull, it's a little bit different. But there you go. So what's happened? Has anything really happened?
No. I mean, genuinely, like, I don't think it has. I'm trying to sort of think about what news there's been about Arsenal, and it's very flimsy at the moment. Unless I'm being foolish. Top stories. The top stories on News Now for Arsenal are... Arsenal fans noticed what Nicola Pepe did to Rob Holding during winter break training in Dubai. Some sort of wedgie, I would imagine.
No, but there's probably just the video that we watched where he showed a bit of skill and, you know, went past him.
And in fairness, we did notice that. Maybe that story is just about you and I. It's just come out very quickly.
Do you know what?
It's breaking news.
I have, on my news now, I've got... so many sites blocked that I can no longer block any more sites. So I don't see a lot of that, you know, Arsenal fans did this or Arsenal fans react to that kind of stuff because all the sites that peddle that kind of bollocks are blocked off my news now. And I have to say, life is better because of it.
This is a great headline that you probably won't see, I'm going to venture. And it says... Opinion, : Arsenal given opportunity to sign ideal Mesut Ozil replacement for $77 million transfer fee.
Hang on a second. That's not an opinion. What is that?
So the fact that the headline is just an opinion. It's couched within the idea that it's an opinion. That, unbelievably, is the top story.
What?
Then it's Arsenal fans noticing what Nicola Pepe did to Rob Holding. Report claims Arsenal likely to reignite interest in player allegedly keen on. I can see how that's done well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then just a load of other stuff about Arsenal fans urge club to do this or Arsenal fans. It's a whole category of article, isn't it, where it's like stuff people have said on Twitter turned into an article.
Yeah, exactly. The reactions of Arsenal fans to any tiny little thing become, article fodder. But then that's why you block those sites, because life is too short, you know. It's already too short for half the shit people say on Twitter, let alone when it's, you know, put into article form. Nobody needs that.
Very true. So genuinely very little has happened. I think what Bernd Leno said after the Burnley game was quite interesting, where he was talking about, you know, the lack of unity in the team and how bad things got, I suppose, under Unai Emery.
Yeah.
That was newsworthy.
It was. And I don't think it will have come as a huge surprise, but it's unusual. I think what he was trying to do was like show off the positives of what's happening under Mikel Arteta, right? I don't think he was necessarily going, sticking the knife into Unai Emery and what have you. But I just think by what he said, he definitely did that, you know. And I think as well, he sort of shone a spotlight on those above, which we might talk about in the second part, because I think we got a question or two about stuff like that. But yeah, they definitely were interesting comments about how we're a team now, which is, you know, pretty shocking when you consider you're supposed to be a team in the first place.
Yeah, it doesn't speak to a positive culture at Arsenal, certainly. And, you know, things are better now, which I guess is a positive, but they had to be. They really had to be. And I suppose other than that, I mean, the new signings have joined up with training. That's, I guess, sort of news. But, I mean, really, it has been super quiet, which is what you would expect, because it has been a holiday for the most part this week.
James, can we just hang on a sec here? Because people listening to this will have noticed that they were getting some audio issues, which is not at your end, but at my end. So I'm just going to pause here for a second and see if I can do anything to fix it. I thought I had this problem fixed the other day. I had a big, long discussion with people on Twitter about, you know, various things to try. I think my computer could just be fucked.
What's happening? We don't have to do this on air. You could tell me.
No, I'll tell you now. But basically, you sort of repeat things. It's sort of like you get stuck, kind of, just for a couple of seconds.
Like a sort of stammer or something.
Yeah, but it goes a bit, and then you continue. It's not like you sound like a... like Elmer Fudd, kind of, from the Bugs Bunny things. But not quite yet. It's a weird, strange audio feedback loop thing, which is really annoying. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to reboot my computer and we'll come back and finish off this part. Or maybe we should just finish this part now, should we?
Let's finish this part. Let's close it down.
Let's close it down, finish this part. Hopefully rebooting will fix it. I'm not that confident because I just rebooted before we started. So, I don't know what else I can try. Sometimes though, when you open up YouTube and watch stuff on YouTube, it precipitates this little audio issue. So I don't know if it's a problem with, I don't know what the fuck it's a problem with, but it's driving me absolutely mental, I have to say, because it's been going on for months.
Well, let's try and fix it then, so that you don't go mental.
It just did it there. It just did it right there.
Oh my God. I mean, I might have been doing that, but
No.
I'm messing with you. I've been messing with you this whole time.
You're unbelievable.
Okay, let's end part one. This was part one, everyone. And we'll be back with part two right after this. That's what you say normally.
That's it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Arsecast Extra. This is part two of the show where we answer questions that you send to us on Twitter at Gunnarblog and at Arseblog on the Arseblog Facebook page, facebook.com/thearseblog, and on the Arseblog Discord chat server, which you get access to if you are an Arseblog member on Patreon. Just going back to that audio issue, by the way,
oh, yeah.
I was explaining to James, I've tried literally everything I can think of, changed all the equipment, changed all the cables, upgraded softwares, all those kind of things, and it
turned
persists.
It off and on again.
Turned it off and on again countless times. So if anybody out there has come across this issue or knows some way that I can fix it, please, please let me know, because it's it is driving me to distraction. Because
it's like when there's a mouse in the house and you can't find the mouse. Do you know what I mean? Like
it's exactly that. It's exactly yeah. that. And I've got
and
no...
you're going to destroy your house looking for this mouse.
I am at that point, yes, where my computer is the house and the audio issue is the mouse. And the only way, perhaps, to solve it is to go at it with a lump hammer. Yeah, exactly. So, look, please drop me an email or whatever if you know how to fix it. Right, questions. Let's start with questions. You can go first.
Okay. So this one, we had a few variations on this, but it's from Jamie on Twitter at Jamie_TRK. Which pose should be selected for Arsene Wenger's statue? And I think this is off the back of a piece John Cross wrote, maybe saying Arsene Wenger should be honoured with his statue. It feels like an inevitability, but what should the pose be? We might have done this before, but just wondered if you'd updated your thoughts
at
all.
What the pose should be? I mean,
I know what mine would be, I think.
Okay.
I'm crouching forward, like touching his toes. Just. I don't know. One leg in the air, like a dog. I don't know. What's yours?
What pose would it be? I mean, I suppose I would ensure that whatever pose it was, he didn't have to have a pole up his arse to keep him in it, like the Dennis
nice
Bergkamp one.
Yeah.
What would it be? I think I would go for the Arsene Wenger at Old Trafford, where he was sent to the stands and they were giving him dog's abuse. And this was after he got sent to the stands for the heinous crime of kicking a water bottle when a goal that we thought would it have been an equaliser or a winner? I can't remember. I think it could have been an equaliser.
Yeah, I forget. But I think maybe an equaliser.
Yeah,
but
and it
was
disallowed.
Up into this crowd.
Yeah, and he stood there with his arms out wide, like a kind of sort of
messiah,
kinda, but a bit like a kind of like what the fuck Jesus, and what the fuck Jesus he was.
He was a what the fuck Jesus. I agree.
Yeah. So Arsene Wenger in the what the fuck Jesus pose, that would do it for me.
Yeah, that would be mine too. I'm just trying to think, is there sort of an iconic Wenger celebration, you know, a moment that would be particularly good? I mean, obviously him lifting a Premier League trophy is not a bad idea, but then you've got a sculpted trophy. I mean, you're making trouble for yourself there.
Yeah.
I mean, if I think of the classic Arsene Wenger celebratory pose, I'm not sure if there is a specific goal this relates to, but it's like his hands outstretched, fists clenched, and a sort of, you know, like eyes closed, head leaning back. I think he might have celebrated like that when Fabregas scored in Milan. You know, when we won 2-0 in Milan. and Fabregas scored the first goal from range, and he actually ran over and hugged Wenger.
Yeah. I know that.
But I think before that, he sort of span away in delight, and that's quite a nice look too. Mm. But you know, he could go for something. You could go for something just a bit more sort of regal, and you know, the Herbert Chapman statue, for example, is not of Herbert Chapman doing anything, is it? It's just Herbert Chapman stood there,
standing there. Yeah.
And I kind of think like Wenger's got the presence and the authority to pull that off. You know, he doesn't have to be doing a pose necessarily. Just his, you know, his stance, his touchline stance, I think speaks volumes for itself.
Arsene Wenger trying to do up his big long jacket.
I mean, that is the fear, isn't it? Yeah. And will they sculpt him in the jacket? I can see the sculptor being like, well, it'd be a lot easier for me if I just put him in the massive jacket, to be honest. So should we do that?
Yeah, let's do that one. I mean, speaking of apparel and sportswear and things like that, Steve Miller... he's a good band, actually. He is at Meven Stiller on Twitter, and he says, do you think Adidas should produce some Arsenal-branded short shorts for the fellas who wear their shorts like little pants in training? So if you remember back to that video that we watched 20 minutes ago of the fellas in Dubai, yeah. Aubameyang, Mesut Ozil, Mustafi, for example, all had their shorts kind of tucked up to make them short shorts, almost like old school running shorts or something.
Yeah. Like sort of Alan Partridge would wear. It is kind of amazing that they choose to... Why are they doing that? So for freedom of movement, breathability? What's the motivation there?
I think to let some air... at their thighs.
Right. Okay. Why do footballers pull their shorts up? Tan the legs.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, but tan the legs. And when you get sweaty, the shorts get in the way of your movement a little bit. So you pull them up so you can move your legs more freely. This is Google's answer. This is Google's answer, Andrew. I won't have you poo-poo it.
Google would never do us wrong, that's for sure.
They never have, and they
when
never
would
will.
A massive corporation ever give us information that was not to our benefit?
The Express, the fine guys at the Express newspaper.
Blocked on News Now by me. I just want to make that clear.
I've put together a whole article on this. The Express Sport reveals several possible reasons why Alexis Sanchez rolls up his shorts while playing and training for Manchester United.
This is they reveal several possible reasons.
Opinion. The reasons. Alexis Sanchez. So, comfort, number one. I mean, oh my God, so many adverts have started playing on this website. It's stressing me out. Much of Sanchez's game involves weaving in and out of tight spaces. Rolling up his shorts would result in less material to interfere with his dribbling. To interfere with his dribbling.
Oh, yeah.
Sanchez may think... Right, so their opinion is he may think he has greater mobility when rolling up the shorts. Whether his game is really enhanced by this quirk remains anyone's guess. So that's possible reason number one.
Okay.
I mean, incredibly, there are more reasons.
Such as?
Number two, superstition.
In the land of my fathers, they always said a man who wore the short shorts would score the goals.
Yeah. Sanchez could be a simple case of hitching up his shorts. That could be a superstition. He says John Terry used the same pair of shin pads for a decade. Well, they must be like, that's like the most evil artifact in the world. It's like in the new Star Wars where they have Darth Vader's mask. I think the Chelsea players probably have John Terry's shin pads somewhere in the dressing room. They go and touch it before they go out and commit
I wonder, did he keep wearing those shin pads when he slipped and missed a penalty to win the Champions League?
Very good question. Tomáš Rosický says never sang the Czech Republic national anthem as his youth team always lost when he did. Who knows? So the third reason... Iconic moments. I don't...
Sorry, I was... my silence was because I was about to sneeze.
Well, it was an appropriate response. it just sort of says, being a set piece taker, Sanchez could be trying to channel his inner Ronaldo and ramp up the drama for millions of fans around the world. So, like, in the build-up to a free kick, he ramps up the drama by sort of pulling his shorts.
Do you think he's also maybe trying to distract the wall?
Maybe, like by teasing them.
Yeah, they're going, whoa, look at those thighs.
Is he just emulating Fabian Barthez, who, of course, originated this look when he fell to his knees and pulled his shorts up almost over his shoulders?
That's when he made those mistakes to let Thierry Henry score goals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the final reason the Express propose is venting heat. Very simply, the higher the shorts, the cooler the legs.
Well, you know, it's inarguable, that particular one, isn't it? But, you know, these shorts nowadays are made from, you know, what's the word? All this, like, high-tech...
paper or something.
Yeah, high-tech nylon that sort of wicks sweat away from the thing. It's not like they're going out wearing sackcloth, which could, you know, in the hot weather, give you some solid chafing.
No, I think... I mean, the thing is, I can see them making them for the players, but... a bit like the sort of skin-tight Puma kits, I'm not sure what fans are going to be wearing the short shorts. Do you see them taking off amongst supporters? Do you see people in the pub before the game wearing the little Adidas short shorts?
Well, I don't know. Maybe test them out on the Welsh rugby fans, see how they go.
That's true.
Weekend in Dublin. See how you go with the short shorts and your rugby jersey, and after that, all bets are off.
Fair enough. Let's have another question.
Okay.
So... Ash, at the Ash Morgan, with rumours circulating that Ramsey may leave Juventus, would you take him back in the summer?
We had this question on the Discord as well from Bittersweet Tim. Would you take Ramsey back from Juventus? There are rumours about Juventus wanting to sell him this summer. Look, you know me. I was a very big Aaron Ramsey fan. Big fan.
Loved him, yeah.
Loved the guy. But I do think... that if, having let Aaron Ramsey go for free to Juventus, we, as a club, a year later, pay them a substantial transfer fee for him, on top of massive wages that we weren't prepared to give him in the first place, we would look, you know, a little bit silly.
Yes, I think it would be crazy. We'd have to pay him what he's making now, which we didn't want to pay him before.
Yeah.
Plus... I mean, God knows what the transfer fee would be, 30, 40 million pounds, maybe more. So, no, I mean, I would be surprised if Juventus turned him over a year later, but they did it with Emre Can. They flipped him, they bought him on a free transfer, and they just sold him for 20 million or so.
Oh, did they?
It's not,
I missed that.
Well, he went on loan to Dortmund, and there's an obligation, I believe, at the end of the season.
Right, okay. See, that's
which is weird for me because I bought Emre Can for Dortmund on Football Manager years ago. So I feel like he's just been there forever because he was such a stalwart of my team.
It also shows that you are clearly ahead of the game here when it comes to talent scouting and squad building. So
thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I think, Ramsey, you can't do it. I mean, it would be great to have a player... of that ability.
Mm.
It would be great to have that player. Wouldn't it?
But for free.
For free. Yeah. You know how we had him? It would be great if that had carried on.
Yeah. And we didn't have to pay a load of money for him. And we could
and
have,
he's
you
29.
Know,
he's going to be 30. I think the reason Juve are potentially interested in selling him, according to these reports, is he keeps suffering with a lot of muscular injuries. Who could have guessed might happen?
That's a fresh development.
I know. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons he doesn't make sense. We need the new Aaron Ramsey, you know?
Yeah. A new one, a fitter one, a younger one, a cheaper one.
Probably.
Definitely a cheaper one. Okay, here's a question from the Discord as well. It's from Tallyman. And he says, if the training camp only yielded one benefit to the team, what would it be? Goals or something more intangible?
Goals or something more intangible? I think it would be goals. I think it would be goals. I think they've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I think there will be other intangible benefits, you know, maybe more sense of coherence and understanding, better team spirit. Mm. But goals. Goals is what we need, isn't it?
I think it is. It's the next step in our quest for the mythical winning a game of football trophy.
Sure, the end to all the draws.
Yeah. Drawing Arsenal.
I mean, it's good to see that they have been doing some one-on-one drills and shooting practice because, you know, that's what we need. More shots, more goals. I mean, this question is on similar lines from Griff, who's at Mr. Griffster. And Griff says, what formation or personnel changes would you expect to see after Arteta's training camp?
It's a good question. I'm not sure we're going to see much difference in terms of formation.
Right. Do you mean just in terms of the pure numbers, or do you, like, as in, do you think that the system will be the same, or do you think that there might be tweaks within that formation? You know, so we've had the situation where it's the left back who overlaps, but not so much the right back.
Yeah.
Do you think that will maintain the same?
Maybe. I do think we need to find a bit more balance in that regard. I do know, like, you know, if one side goes forward, it makes sense for the other side to be a bit more conservative so you're not pulled apart, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I wonder maybe if we might see a little bit more in-game shifting should we require it. You know, right. Now that he's got his left-sided centre half, could we possibly switch to a three at the back if we wanted to? You know.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't really envisage too much different in terms of the general formation, the sort of platform that we've used for most games since Arteta took over. I think there may well be some tweaks in personnel. Going into this break, I was sort of convinced that he would look for something different from Lacazette and Ozil in particular.
Mm.
And apropos of absolutely nothing or based on no knowledge or anything that we've seen, my gut feeling tells me that he might give them another go when we come back.
Yeah, it's almost like the break might become not an excuse, but a justification for, well, look, I've had 2 weeks working with these guys now.
I want to give him another chance. I think
I want to give him a chance. Yeah, I think so too.
But I do get the sense or get the feeling that if they don't produce, then he will be much more willing to sort of make tough decisions there. But I guess, you know, there are intangibles as well when we talk about that. The squad togetherness, the team building, the everybody being on the same page, everybody understanding what it is we want to do. Did you see Mustafi's tweet?
Yeah. Well, about what was it? What did he say?
It was a picture of him and Arteta sitting there. And I think they're both sitting on footballs. And Mustafi says something about communication is the key for success
key
or whatever
something,
it might
yeah.
be. Yeah, you know, a bit of a dig there. But look, we'll wait and see. I mean, the thing is, we can all and have looked at this first 6 weeks within the very difficult context of how it's happened and how it's gone down. But when you do take this break, when you do have a few days off, when you do have the warm weather training, etc., etc., you're expected. I think that people will be, if not a bit more impatient, but we'll be looking for better results. I think they are already, but I think, there'll be a greater expectation that we can start producing and start winning games when we come back.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of any specific changes. I mean, I'll be really interested to see whether, when we come back, it's Matteo Guendouzi or Lucas Torreira who starts in central midfield, because I was surprised that Guendouzi got the nod against Burnley.
Mm.
And I thought Torreira had been doing pretty well under Arteta until that point. So, yeah, I think that's one that quite influences sort of a bit of the structure of the team and how we progress play. So that'll be a really intriguing one. And I think the other one is certainly Lacazette. You know, do we persist with him as the number nine? You know, because equally you could argue, well, he's got 2 weeks to tell Aubameyang what he wants from him as a number nine, or
yeah,
or Martinelli, or whoever else it might be. I mean, surely Aubameyang, but yeah. So that's the one to keep an eye on. But like you, my hunch is that he will persist. Actually, I think he's clearly got reasons for picking those players, and he's got a certain loyalty to them already at this stage. And I think he'll want to give them one more chance.
Okay. While we're on the warm weather training thing, we have a question from Jim, who's at Jimmy17_, and he says, if you could organise the warm weather training for one of our rivals, where would you send them? Which club would you send there? And would lasagna be on the menu?
I was going to say I'd send Spurs to sort of, you know, the heart of the sun.
Yeah.
Just fire them straight into it and that'd be that. But where would actually be... I mean, I guess what you would do is you'd send them somewhere really cold and miserable, wouldn't you? Send them to Siberia, essentially.
Mm.
And, yeah, lasagna every day, I think, would have to be the catering choice.
Which, you know, you can send one right now, but which one would you send?
Which team?
Mm.
I mean, who are our big rivals? Sheffield United, from the way it's going. I mean, let me have a look at the table, because I think we have to be cynical here. I think I would send... Yeah, I would send Spurs, you know, because given the unlikelihood of us achieving anything significant in the Premier League this season, I think finishing above Spurs, you know, is something that would make me smile and chuckle again. So yeah, I think it would be them, not the resurgent Everton. What about you?
Yeah, it's hard to look past Spurs because, you know, we know what they are, but you know, it also means that you get to send Mourinho somewhere too.
True.
So,
can I ask you a separate question? Actually, speaking about teams we don't like, who are you hoping goes down?
Who am I hoping goes down?
Are there any teams down there that you're like, I'll be glad to see the back of them?
Let me have a look.
Because there's quite a lot of teams. I mean, there's six teams, I would say, who are in it. And they've all got, you know, strengths and weaknesses. But I just wondered if there was anyone who were like, nah, sack them off, get rid of them.
You know, it used to be a case that I would definitely have teams like that I would be delighted, you know, like Stoke, for example, like Leeds, who I was delighted to see. But I mean, what's my beef with Norwich? I don't have one.
No.
Watford, they're all right. West Ham, like, that'd be kind of funny.
Sure.
Because of the owners, you know.
Not funny for Jack Wilshere. Oof.
No. Aston, he's got other things to worry about, though.
True.
With his fitness. Aston Villa, you know. Bournemouth, Brighton, Palace, Southampton.
They're all harmless. You know. Let's keep these teams around. These are the teams
you've
got
to go up
beat.
To 11th. And that's Burnley.
Burnley, yeah, I know. We can but dream.
Burnley, I would definitely like to see relegated, for sure.
Sure. Well, it is possible. They're level on points with us, so they're very much in the mix to go down.
Yeah.
Look, you know, as long as we stay up, I guess. It is a weird one. I was thinking the same. I was looking at it and going like, oh, usually there are teams that I hate involved in this, but not really. Not really.
I'm going to Facebook. Danny Brett says, you only read questions from Twitter anyway. How about a shout out? No chance of a shout out for you, Danny Brett, whatsoever. And Ivan Ho says, do you believe in forgiveness? We love you in Facebook. And I do have a question here from Facebook. It comes from Toye Ade, who says, hi gents, who is the former Arsenal player you've kept tabs on the most since leaving the club? I've been following Cazorla's resurgence with a smile. And I did have a question from Twitter as well. How you like that, Danny Brett? From Aravind Shetty, who's at Shetty Aravind, who says, how would you like to bring back Santi for a year?
Oh, I would love it. I would love it. I don't think it will happen at all, but it would be a lovely romantic thing, even just a game, to be honest. I'd love to see him at the Emirates Stadium again. But, you know, I think we could use him. I think he's a good player. Clearly, he's in the Spain squad and stuff like that, but there are lots of reasons I don't think it will happen. What about you?
It'd be nice, you know, if it wasn't all so serious. You know, if we didn't have, like, things to do, like win matches and that kind of stuff. You know, it is a romantic idea, but, yeah, it's not going to happen. But there you go.
No. There was something else you mentioned, but I've forgotten. Which Arsenal player do I keep tabs on? It's a good question, actually, because, you know, they're sort of like ex-girlfriends usually. I just sort of try and shut them out. I delete them from all my social media, you know, in a lot of cases. But I think I've sort of kept quite good tabs on Theo Walcott because I was sort of fascinated to see how he would get on at another club. And he's actually had a really mixed up and down time at Everton. But since Ancelotti took over, he has been back in the team and significantly better. Ancelotti's clearly a bit of a fan of him. And he said, he got injured at the weekend and he said, oh, well, look, we don't have anyone else in the squad who can replicate Walcott's qualities. And he said he hopes he's back as soon as possible.
Apparently got a very good assist at the weekend.
He scored at Watford the other week. He's in a decent run of form. I mean, fascinating player, Theo Walcott. In a sort of time in which, you know, we're lamenting a lack of goals and productivity in our attack, you know, he was often criticised, but you couldn't really that often criticise his productivity. He was usually involved in stuff, wasn't he, in the final third, unless I'm seeing it back through rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Anyone you keep track of particularly?
No, I mean, the Jeff.
Did you see Thomas Vermaelen this weekend?
No. What did he do?
I don't know if you saw this doing the rounds on social media, but there was a game in Japan where 9 penalties in the shootout were missed and one.
Were they blindfolded?
Honestly, it was incredible. It was like one of them missed and then they all couldn't help themselves. They were just missing penalty after penalty. I think Thomas Vermaelen went over the bar. He's playing for Vissel Kobe in the J-League.
Is that not where Podolski is?
I believe it is. So I think it's a bit of a reunion over there. Let's have a look at their squad. It's a great squad, actually. You've got Andres Iniesta, Thomas Vermaelen. It's not Podolski. He's somewhere else, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
Who did Podolski play for?
I'm pretty sure. Did Podolski not retire?
No, Podolski plays in Turkey. He was at Vissel Kobe, you're right. And then in January, in the transfer window, just gone, he joined Antalyaspor in Turkey on an 18-month contract.
I mean, look, in fairness to him, he's having a great old tour of the world, isn't he?
He really is.
As a footballer. So he's done Germany, the Premier League, Japan, Turkey, guarantee within a year or 18 months, couple of years in MLS.
Surely.
He's going to play for the Kalamazoo Spartans.
He didn't run that much. You know what I mean? Like, as long as he can pull that left foot back, he'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, he can hit the ball.
He can really hit the ball. He was at Vissel Kobe, but I guess, you know, he's no longer there. Vermaelen is, Iniesta is, and a bunch of other names. A Brazilian forward called, a Brazilian defender called Dankler, which is a name I enjoy.
Okay. Didn't a guy get banned from football for life for getting his Dankler out after Newcastle scored a goal?
Well, that was a fascinating celebration, wasn't it?
Yes, it certainly was.
I really didn't know what to make of that, but there you go.
He was just channeling his inner Giroud, if you remember. There was that that gif of Olivier Giroud doing his helicoptering his Dankler in the dressing room.
And Vermaelen's manager there is Torsten Fink, the former Basel and Grasshoppers boss. So there you go.
There you go.
So that's what Vermaelen's up to. You're keeping an eye on the Jeff, did you say?
Yeah, the Jeff. I kind of think there's something there. But he's got a cruciate injury. I think he picked up a cruciate injury. Fran Morita, remember him?
He ended up in Brazil, did he not?
He did go to Brazil, but he, of course, was the new Fabregas.
He still is and always will be.
Yeah. But he's had quite the quite the career trajectory. He's now playing for Osasuna.
Ah,
in La Liga. So been there for a few years now. So there you go, Fran Morita.
Great. This question is from Dawood at Caged Tweeter, a tweeter in a cage, which arguably is where they should all be. And he says, with no January signings, don't you think some of our loaned out players like Elneny could have contributed more this season? Or could have contributed, rather, this season?
But didn't we make two signings in January? I mean, I'm...
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess he means no permanent signings. You know, is it worth the cost of loaning in, you know, somebody when we could have had players already? I mean, who's out on loan?
Elneny's
out on loan. Mkhitaryan. Saliba we could have done with at 1 or 2 points, probably.
Yeah, but that doesn't really count. I don't really count him because he, you know, he's never played for us, so...
And I don't think, you know, Mavropanos and Smith Rowe, they've gone on loans for very specific reasons. And Smith Rowe, impressing from what I understand.
Yeah, but Mavropanos too. I saw a video over the weekend of him playing for Nuremberg. It is Bundesliga too, but, you know, he had a good game for them apparently. So that's good. He needs to play. I mean, I think we all were in agreement that, you know, he just needed to get some games under his belt and to stay fit. And hopefully, you know, he can develop and have a good loan spell. What was the question again? Could Mkhitaryan have done something? He could have. I mean, he probably would have scored enough goals for you to not be able to really want to throw him out a window. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
he was productive.
Oh, God, then fucking Mkhitaryan. Oh, what's it? Oh, he's just scored a goal. Okay, all right, well, yeah, all right. And then it'd be like 8 games without a goal, and then he'll score 2 in a Europa League game against, you know, FC Scrunch. Yeah, no, I'm glad we don't have Mkhitaryan.
I am too. And Elneny, I mean, he's a body.
Yeah, I don't think he was a bad player per se. I think he could have done a job, but it probably would have been at the expense of playing time for someone like Joe Willock. Maybe.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the point of moving these guys, isn't it? That we gave that game time to academy players. And, you know, if we kept Mkhitaryan, would we have seen as much as Martinelli? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sorry that they're not here. And I expect... What did you write this morning? I saw a picture of Elneny.
Yeah, basically about what we... The way we could sell them in the summer and get some money in.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be good. And it would feel like money for nothing at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Mkhitaryan is making it very clear he doesn't want to come back. I think he's trying to burn the bridges so he can, you know, make sure he gets a move elsewhere, a permanent move somewhere, which is fine, you know. I don't really have any particular issue with that. So, you know, he's on 200 grand a week at Arsenal. And it's fair to say we haven't got value for money. So, you know, get shot.
I mean, I'd be interested to see what happens with Elneny. He's, 27 now, with 28 this summer. I would imagine he'll get moved on, but I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that he's someone that Arteta would have a look at in pre-season. But, yeah, we'll see. I think if they'd really wanted him around, he would be here.
He would. Okay, Talking Arse, who's at Talking Arse, says, favourite sports movie?
Favourite sports movie, and I saw someone underneath said, if it's not Space Jam, something's wrong. And I think that's a very good shout. Space Jam is an excellent sports film. But I'm probably going to have to say... Well, I have a theory that sort of the best sports films are boxing films, basically.
Right.
There are loads more movies about boxing than movies about any other sport. So there sort of should be. So I'm going to say...
The Champ.
Which one is that? Is that
that's where
Matt Damon?
No, it was. Do you remember a TV show called Silver Spoons? I think it was called.
Right.
It could have been like way before.
Oh, 1979, The Champ, Zeffirelli movie. Is this the one you mean? Yeah.
And he dies. The champ dies. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Spoiler.
And the little boy's sad.
The little boy cries and he's all like, oh, Champ, Champ, oh no, please don't die, Champ.
Yeah, that's the best movie, sports movie.
But Champ dies.
No, I think it's Raging Bull is my best sports film.
Okay.
What's film. Yours?
Slapshot.
Mm.
Which is Paul Newman. It's an ice hockey movie.
I've not seen that, actually.
And... like, I haven't seen it for probably 20 years, but I remember it being really, really violent. And they had twins. There were twins who were in it, and they were brutal. And it was basically just kicking the shit out of each other, you know, on the ice hockey. I just really like that movie. I can't say stuff like Fever Pitch and that, you know?
No, no.
Because I've never seen Fever Pitch.
Have you not?
No.
Why? Because just have you avoided it, or
I just, you know, I read the book obviously, and I love the book, and you know, I know what Anfield 89 is all about. I just never wanted to watch it. I didn't want to experience that in the context of something else. Does that make
sure.
sense?
Yeah, of course. It's not bad, I have to say. You know, it's a pretty decent version. It's not the book, but it's okay.
Mm.
They made another movie, didn't they, which was like an American version of Fever Pitch about a baseball team. Maybe.
They had, was John Cusack in it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I've not seen that, but... it's okay, the Fever Pitch film. I should have said that, shouldn't I? Favourite sports film. It's an Arsenal related one, but
there you go. Okay.
We got there.
We got one final question on pretty much non-Arsenal related Arsecast. It comes from Ronnie, who is at Ron is Great. And he says, would you rather only answer would you rather questions or only ever answer questions about predicting starting 11s?
I would rather do the would you rathers every time. The starting 11 ones. I mean, we end up doing it every week anyway, don't we? Like, I'll drop my phone. What's the starting 11 going to be for the next game? But it's what's our best 11 is the worst, is the one that I'm like, oh man, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
It's the old classic. It never goes away though, does it? Like,
if everyone is fit, what is our best 11?
Yeah.
It's all people want to know. That's just the whole podcast should just be that.
Okay.
Would you rather every time, yeah.
Oh, would you rathers for me as well, actually. One more. I bought new football boots, by the way. I'm very happy with them. They arrived this morning.
Right.
They're cool.
What brand?
Adidas.
Okay.
Predators.
Nice. Yes, I've seen the advert.
Predators. But, you know, actual boots and not the ones with the little ankle-y bit, because no.
Okay.
No. Can't have
what are they, like a little ankle guard things?
Yeah, they have those now, but I remember, you know, when I was a kid, rugby players wore rugby boots.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, football players, we wore football boots. And rugby boots were those ones which had the ankle bit on them. Yeah, they had those ankly bits. And, you know, football boots, no, I just can't bring myself to wear those. I mean, they're Astro boots rather than, you know, regular football boots, but there you go. But just speaking of starting 11s, Jono on the Discord says, what will be both of your starting lineups in FIFA 20 using Arsenal?
Oh, okay. Do you know yours? Have you done yours? I'll let you do yours.
Well, yeah, I'm
because you play.
Yeah, so Leno, Tierney, Luiz, Socrates, Bellerin, Xhaka, Torreira, Martinelli on the left, Pepe on the right, and Aubameyang up front. That's mine.
You've got one more player, I think.
Oh, Ozil.
Ozil, right.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell me, where are the selection? Because I don't really play FIFA. Where are the selection dilemmas there?
There aren't. I mean, you could use Lacazette as a striker and put Aubameyang on the left, which you do sometimes as well.
Is Martinelli any good on the game?
Yeah, he's not bad. It's not bad, but that's just what I'm using at the moment because, you know, sometimes my real life issues with players bleeds into my FIFA selections.
Sure. So Lacazette's out of the team.
He's out of the team. I'm teaching him a lesson. Yeah. He needs to work harder in training and take his chances.
I mean, as far as I recall, FIFA for me was just about getting all the fast players on the pitch. Is that still a valid approach?
I think it is when you're as bad at it as we are.
Yeah. In the days of Walcott, it was kind of, you know...
Give it to Theo.
Get it to Walcott and run up the field was very much my approach.
Pepe is fast. Pepe Bellerin on the right-hand side. That's a good, quick combination down the right.
Yeah. I would just be looking... Mine would be very similar, but I'd just be looking to squeeze in some speed wherever. Like, you know, if Eddie Nketiah's fast, then let's put him at left back or something. I don't know. That would be my style. Yeah. But, yeah.
There we go. So you're not playing FIFA 20?
No, I, to be honest, the PlayStation's there. It's plugged in over there. I'm looking at it now, but I think I've got a lot on my plate. If I start... I just worry that if I start playing games... then I'm just going to fall into that pit. Of playing games all the time. Yeah. And then I won't get enough done. Mm. But I admire your restraint that you're able to balance these things.
Yeah.
But when you've got a personality like mine, you have abstinence is key.
Right. Well, I have to say, I play more Rocket League than I play FIFA.
Now, what is Rocket League?
Rocket League is basically football in cars.
Right.
Right? So you've got, you can play 1v1, 2v2, or 3v3. 3v3 is the sort of normal one. But you've got these cars, and you're inside a kind of caged arena, and your cars can boost, and you can jump, and you can fly, and you can drive up the sides, and you've got this gigantic heavy ball that you have to knock into the opponent's net with your car. Like, if there was any video game that could be made into real life and turned into a sport, Rocket League would be by far the most popular sport on Earth.
It would be very dangerous, presumably.
It would, because you can actually, you know, destroy the other cars. You can explode them and shit like that.
Once they've exploded, do they come back?
Nah, they come back. Yeah, you come back. Okay, there's no death.
And are you controlling all the cars in your team?
No, just one. No, why would you control all of them? How can you?
Right, I see.
See? So you play online, so it's, you know, you and some bloke against a couple of random blokes.
Great.
It is great fun, though. I'm not trying to tempt you into turning your PlayStation on. And I think
you are, to be. I'm Googling Rocket League.
I think Rocket League is probably only about 12 quid to buy, something like that.
I'm going to end up like Mesut Ozil, addicted to, what's his?
Fortnite.
Fortnite,
yeah.
Do you play that?
No.
Okay.
I don't really understand it.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's the first video game in history that has made me feel old. I tried to play it once. I sort of got the general idea of it, right? That you parachute into a thing, and the space that you play in gets smaller and smaller, and it's last man standing kind of thing.
Mm.
But the first time I played it, there were people running around, and they were just sort of building staircases and shit. And I was like, what the fuck are all these people? What are they doing?
And they're really good as well.
And they're
presumably.
Really good. Yeah, they know what they're doing. I'm going, well, do I build a staircase? How do I build a staircase? And you're pushing buttons, and then some cunt comes along and shoots you. You're dead. So I don't get it. I don't get it. But there we go. There we go. That's on me. The kids, they know what they're
doing. I'll let you know if I play Rocket League. Someone asked a question about Rocket League recently on the podcast, so I might have to investigate.
All right.
We'll see. I remember looking at it and like, ooh, I don't know what that is. So it's your fault, whoever sent that question in, if I fall into this pit.
Yeah, James and his Rocket League addiction, we can have we'll do a special behind-the-scenes storytelling podcast of your recovery when you come back from the Tony Adams Clinic for video game addiction. How about that?
Okay. All right. That'd be lovely.
Well, we've managed to get through this particular half of the show without any of the audio issues.
Really?
Which is fantastic. So that reboot helped. And it does suggest to me that opening up YouTube might well be the cause of that audio problem.
Interesting.
But, I mean, you kind of have to have YouTube as well. It's hard to get through life without YouTube.
It is. But on podcast days, you'll have to abstain.
I will abstain. You have shown me the way. You are
Thank
the light.
You. I am the light. I am the way.
Lord help us.
That's very blasphemous, isn't it? Right. Let's end this Winter Lull podcast.
We'll do that. We will be here on Friday with a look ahead to the Newcastle game and lots more besides. Thank you as ever for subscribing and listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll catch you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.